A reading from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by the four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave to us, we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading from John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Last week, the scriptures left off with the apostle Peter asleep on the rooftop of the home of another man named Simon. And as was said in the children's sermon this morning, today the scripture picks up and tells us about the dream Peter had there while he was asleep. It was a vivid and very powerful dream, and it resulted in one of the most definitive moments in the history of the church. Peter, an observant Jew, had grown up with all of the customs and regulations of what was to be kept kosher about his faith. You shall not eat any abhorrent thing. Those that chew the cud or have the hoof cleft, you shall not eat. And the pig, because it divides the hoof but does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. You shall not eat their meat, and you shall not touch their carcasses. These you may eat of all that are in the waters, everything in the waters that has fins and scales. But anything in the seas or in the streams that does not have fins and scales, they are detestable to you, and detestable they shall remain. These you shall regard as detestable among the birds. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the osprey, the buzzard, the kite of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl, the great owl, the desert owl, and the bat. And all creatures that swarm upon the earth are detestable also. They shall not be eaten. Whatever moves on its belly and whatever moves on all fours or whatever has many feet, all of the creatures that swarm upon the earth, you shall not eat, for they are detestable. And you shall not make for yourselves detestable with any creature that swarms. And you shall not defile yourselves with them and so become unclean yourselves. For I am the Lord your God. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. For I am the Lord who brought you up out from the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. I read these restrictions from Leviticus and Deuteronomy at length so that we can see how strict and serious the law was. And strict and serious it was to remain. Detestable they were to remain. This was the law. And the Jews were said not only to keep the law, but it was also said that the law kept the Jews. It set them apart as a people. It gave them their identity as a nation. They were people of the book. And the words in the book bound them together as a people. They set them apart and kept them holy for God, who was holy, and from all other nations which were unholy. But then Peter closed his eyes and had that dream on that rooftop, the same singular vision that took place in three successive acts. Something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, Peter said, with all of the animals of all of the earth upon it, beasts of prey and birds of the air and reptiles from the swamps and crawdads and alligators and wild boars and everything else you'd eat at a crawfish boil in lower Louisiana. Then Peter heard the voice, and the voice said, "Kill and eat." Peter said, "No, never," twice. But then the third time, the voice spoke again, and the sheet kept on coming, and after the third time, Peter awoke to a knock. And Gentiles, those who didn't keep the law and its customs, those from the unholy nations, were standing at the door, wanting to speak to Peter about salvation. And that was when Peter realized that the dream wasn't just about pigs. It was about people. The law, which was keeping people from people, was being set aside for the sake of the gospel, which was about to bring people to people, people to Peter, people from all nations and countries and places and customs to Jesus. And he went with them. And he ate what they put before him, and he preached what was inside of him. He saw the Holy Spirit fall down upon them. And he understood that salvation had come to the house of the Gentiles also. And then somebody said, somebody must have said, "You just wait until the deacons hear about this back in Jerusalem." It's to Jerusalem and a meeting about all this that the text takes us this morning. There were believers in the church who were quite uncomfortable and quite critical and even quite condemning of what Peter had done. They wanted to know why he had dared to consort and eat with and accept unholy Gentiles into the holy fellowship of the church. They called him to the meeting. And I can tell you this morning that I've been at that meeting. The law's the law, somebody says. The Bible is the Bible. Someone else raises their hand. I believe God is the God of the Gentiles. I believe he loves the Gentiles, but in the beginning he separated us from them. We are equal before God, but we should remain separate. Somebody else raises their hand sharply. I do not believe God is the God of the Gentiles. And I do not believe God loves the Gentiles. God loved Jacob, but God hated Esau. God hates unclean Gentiles. We should hate them too. For what hath light to do with darkness, and Baal to do with the Lord? Worship Baal or worship the Lord. Be a Jew or be a Gentile. As for me and my people, we will be Jews and we will worship the Lord. That's when I imagine Peter stood up and walked to the podium and told them about his dream. And he shared with them what all had happened when he went to the Gentile's house As I began to speak to them, he said, the Holy Spirit fell down just as it had fallen upon us. And I said to myself, if God gave them the same Spirit that God gave to us, who am I? Who am I to hinder God? Who am I to tell God whom to love or whom to accept or whom to save? Who am I to tell God who is clean or unclean, worthy of God's gospel or unworthy of God's grace? I tell you that I've been to that meeting because I have. The parish hall in the United Church of Colchester in 2007, Second Baptist Church, Worship Center circa 2015, Broadway Baptist Church about this time of year, 2018, and the question before the congregation, the place of LGBTQ persons in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that it was hard. It was hard, even for me and for many, many Baptists like me. Hard as it was for the Jews, because we had been told, like them, over and over again from the time we were children, that we were the Bible-believing people, the people of the book, and that we needed to believe in and obey all of the words in the book so that we'd be holy, just as God is holy. Then in the parish hall up in Colchester, Vermont, after one woman raised her big black Bible and said so stridently and emphatically, I think we have to believe and follow every word of this book, my wife, Irie, raised her hand. And I thought to myself, oh, she's going to get me in trouble. And she said to the congregation on that day, my hair is in braids this afternoon, and I'm wearing jewelry. And we as women are speaking with one another. And that Bible says, slaves, obey your masters. So then, with all due respect, she said, I'm not going to be sorry that I don't believe we have to obey every single word that is in that book. Sometimes, many times, I'm still asked to show someone in the Bible where it's right to accept and to affirm LGBTQ persons. Well, I tell them the Bible says that in Christ there is neither male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. It's in the same book as slaves obey your masters. But if you have to have it in black and white, gays are okay, then you are asking me for a lot more than Peter gave to that meeting at Jerusalem. He didn't have it in black and white. He didn't have it in that big black book. Where he had it was in his heart. all he had that day at that meeting was his word and what he had dreamed and what he had seen. The Gentiles, he said, all I can say is that the Gentiles have been gifted by God with the same Holy Spirit as we have. And surely the same thing could and should be said about gays and lesbians and bi and trans and queer and intersex people also. The Holy Spirit has fallen upon them too. And who are we? Who are we to question it, calling unclean what God has called clean, or putting a period where the Holy Spirit continues to place a conjunction? In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, east nor west, gay nor straight, holy nor unholy, but we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the words of this gospel of salvation be finally one day written into the very heart of every believer in all of the world. And until then, may we keep on doing what Peter did, trusting what we have seen to be true and daring to stand up and give our testimony about what God's Holy Spirit has done and is still doing. On the last night of Jesus' life, he said he was giving his disciples a new law. They were to love one another. Love one another. That is the law, he said. Love God and love others, and let God love others too. For love is love, and God is love. And who are we to stand in this loving God's way? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, Amen.